This is Radio Influence. Podcasting redefined.
You're listening to Crush Performance with the Crusher, Jeff Crushell. Get in on the talent grid and follow him on Twitter at Jeff Crush. Now, here he is, the Crusher.
All right, good day. Jeff Crushell here, the con man behind the glass. We are Crush Performance, your weekly source for sports performance and athletic development information. And there is so much going on in the world of sport right now, so much to talk about. And let me tell you, there's a lot to be learned if you really dig in and have a good hard look at all that's going on right now. So from a performance standpoint, I want to take today and take a deep hard look at the mental game of sport and athlete performance. If we take, for example, the Masters, and golf will be the majority of our conversation today, there's plenty of storylines that come out of the Masters. What on earth happened to the seasoned pro Ernie Els putting 6-putt on the first hole? Why did Rory underachieve, especially with such a deliberate approach going into the maybe the most challenging event, without question, the most challenging event on the golfing calendar? But he had a real deliberate approach aimed at winning the event. And what went wrong in the mind of Jordan Spieth? Make no mistake, in my eyes, this was a mental breakdown. I want to get to the bottom of it so we can learn and help ourselves get better at everything we do. If we look at the NHL playoffs that are starting right now, we can reflect back on the early part of the season. What's to be learned from the collapse of the Montreal Canadiens, who were so untouchable at the start of the season? And what can we decipher from teams like the Pittsburgh Penguins, who were patient, they were very strategic in biding their time, and they came on strong in the second half and finished maybe, well, without question, one of the most powerful teams in the league going into the playoffs. The Golden State Warriors, enough said there. And how about we look at the pressure of March Madness and playing in that kind of a brutal tournament format? There's a lot to be learned from all these great sporting experiences. And speaking of the college level, the University of Connecticut Huskies women's basketball team finished the season with their 11th national championship, their fourth in a row. But that's not the big story. They went 38-0 this season with an average margin of victory of 39.4 points. And up in Canada, the Nate Oaks men's hockey took the ACAC championship, but they went 36-0 during the season. There's a lot to be learned from these great sporting feats and, of course, these great organizations and the athletes. The point is, there's a lot to be learned here, and it goes well beyond sport. And we're joined today by Crush favorite, the coach of champions himself, Jim Fannin. Jim, thanks for coming on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure, always.
Well, I tell you what, we've been looking forward to this because coming off the Masters, there's so much to talk about. But first and foremost, how have you been doing?
Well, I've been in the zone. Every day is blessed. I'm in the moment the majority of my day. And, you know, there's a reason that everybody listening can do that. I mean, if you plan, having a motto, I've never had a day I haven't already had. If you visualize, plan out what you want, then it's done. Champions win first, walk into the arena. Everybody else walks into the arena, tries to figure out what to do. Being in the moment, it's the only place to be.
I like it. We're talking with Jim Fannin. He'll join us today as we look at the Masters, talk some golf, but try to learn as much as possible and decipher as much as we can out of the great things and the great collapses that have gone on in sporting, in the sporting world here in the recent history. His website is jimfannin.com. Just an absolute great resource for everybody out there. Jim, let's start off here. Of course, you know, I follow you on Twitter and, of course, your blogs. You had a great blog just before the Masters kicked off. What a Masterful Week, it was titled. And it was really interesting. And I just wanted to talk to you about the Masters because what an incredible week that was. The highs, the lows. But there's a lot to be learned from this event.
Well, it is a formidable golf course. That's an understatement. As Ernie Els knows so well, the very first hole, it's a par four. It is literally like hitting an approach shot under the hood of a waxed Buick. And it is so difficult to place the ball, you know, on that green and keeping it on the green. And I think a lot of players, well, when they get to the first hole, the hole says, Welcome to Augusta. Every hole out there, it's treacherous. The greens are slick. And the challenge with everybody that plays, you start thinking, well, I don't want to be here, and I don't want to be there. You start thinking about what you don't want, and that really takes away what you do want.
Jim, you mentioned the course, and in your blog, I just want to take a little excerpt from your blog here, if that's all right, because
sure.
I think this is a great way to paint a picture. I think this is a real good way to let people know how champions think. And it started off like this. Today, the Masters Tournament will be played. And this is out of your blog, so I'm taking this right out
sure.
of there. The best of the best golfers will arrive. Less than 100 men from around the globe will gather to test their craft in the tiny Georgia town of Augusta. One will be declared Masters Champion. Each contestant will leave Washington Road and turn onto Mongolia Lane to the world's greatest golf tournament at the Augusta National Golf Club. This memorable lane is 330 yards long and is adorned by 61 beautiful magnolia trees. For 35 years, I traveled up this picturesque driveway. I know it well. Through the entrance, the players will approach a 365-acre compound that encases the 18-hole course. This will be the players' canvas where they will attempt to paint a masterpiece. It goes on. I'll just finish up right here. The victor will place a white ball into 18 cups with the least amount of shots and strokes. The 7,435-yard course is spectacular with more than 80,000 plants of more than 350 varieties that adorn the Augusta National grounds. Jim, just this description that you wrote here, and I've worked and been around you for a long time, that is a powerful picture to paint, and I would have to assume that this comes out of the mind of a champion right here. The detail.
Well, you know, first of all, I counted all those trees. I've been down Magnolia Lane
yeah.
35 times, and it is so beautiful. But don't be fooled by the beauty. It is treacherous at every single turn. I've coached a lot of players there. The top guy I coached there was third in the Masters, finishing awesome. Thought we were actually going to win it. But you can lose it at any second. Obviously, Jordan Spieth did that. Definitely choked at Rae's Creek. He had been in the creek before. He was there as a rookie. And, you know, once you've done something in a negative way, it's like a pebble in your shoe. You know, it's kind of nagging. It's there. You don't always think about it. But when you need to sprint, it's still there. And under pressure, it'll surface and feel like a boulder. And that's exactly what happened. If you notice Jordan, he was masterful, let's face it, with seven holes to go, the world thought, well, this is a slam dunk. This guy's
yeah.
going to win for sure. The back nine, he plays it great. He's a smart guy. He's tough. He's young, but, boy, is he mentally tough. But he gave a little fist pump on every single hole that he played up until that point, for the whole tournament. Every time he made a putt, little fist putt, you know, that one's down next. But as soon as he had a quadruple bogey on 12, there wasn't one more fist pump at all. You could see it on his face. He held himself accountable. He made no excuses. You got to love the kid for that. But there's no question that he gave the tournament away to Danny Willett. You know, the best way to win is, let them all lose, and that's what Willett did.
The best way to win is to let the competition lose. I like it. We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. JimFannin.com is the website. Well, if we could turn back the hands of time, Jim, and you were in the ear of Jordan, what kind of advice would you give coming into the back nine? I mean, he was on fire holding, and then it just seemed to unravel. This was a mental collapse. Do you agree?
I do agree. You know, he's had trouble on that hole before, so it's not unprecedented, not a quad, but he's double bogeyed that hole. He's plopped it into Rae's Creek. I would have, before the round and being before the tournament, I would have played Rae's Creek in my mind many, many times. You never see the creek. You never see the bunkers until you take your eye off the target. And that's really what he did. He took a little bit longer. You know, when you're in a zone state, you're in this energy flow. By the time you've taken, you know, he takes his practice swings kind of away from, the ball. He selects his target, obviously he selects his club with his caddy. They discuss it. And then once he's committed to the shot, the clock really goes off, an internal clock of how many seconds it takes to make that quick little walk, address the ball, look at the target one more time, pull the trigger, hit the shot. And he took an inordinate amount of time. So his mind, he either had thoughts about the wind, he had thoughts about the club, he had thoughts about Rays Creek, but that he didn't have those thoughts in the previous rounds. I mean, this guy was really torching the entire field. So I would have narrowed my focus. I would have visualized exactly the shape of my shot, and I wouldn't have taken any more time. I would have just gone up and hit it. I mean, the key is, you know, you got to keep your tempo and keep your pace by the time you make up your mind to address the ball and pull the trigger. Typically, it's 12 to 14 seconds. Some people take a little bit longer. Some people a little bit shorter. But I wouldn't violate it. You got to be true to your own tempo. And he violated that.
Yeah, and for whatever reason, it all unraveled from there. We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. JimFannin.com is the website. Jim, I also wanted to talk to you before we really get into dissecting the rest of the field here. I wanted to talk to you about Rory, because there was a great piece on Rory just as the tournament started about his approach going into the event. And he felt that in order for him to have a real chance at winning, he needed to make sure that this was just another event. So, you know, he didn't show up early. He didn't do all the extra things that he has done in the past leading up and into the Masters. He kept it very simple and very consistent with what he's done in other tournaments. But yet it didn't work. So I'm really interested to see. And there was a quote after his interview. And again, he held himself accountable, but he said his defeat was not due to his game, but more to do with how he was dealing with the pressure and the thrill of the potential achievement, which I thought was really interesting.
Well, you know, it's pretty admirable that he's going to volunteer that information. You know, everything would have been fine if Spieth hadn't have come right off and got a 5-6 shot lead,
right,
you know, on him. And I think when that happens, it's like, oh my gosh, now what do I do? You know, yeah, it's easy to make up, but it's easy to even go worse. You know, you could be 10 shots off the lead in a heartbeat. So I think Spieth's lead really threw a wrench into everything that he was doing. Once you're the, you know, I've had different players do different things. You know, some get pumped up and fired up. Some are complacent and relaxed and try to act like it's just another event. It's not another event.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's not even close. Because the energy from the crowd, I mean, even on Monday, you know, are you kidding me? It's Monday. The tournament starts Thursday. You can feel the energy. And the players feel it. They know it's different. How many practice rounds are like that? Zero. Zero practice rounds are like anything at like the Masters. So it's not a, you know, you got to be ready for the ultimate pressure. And here's another thing. The media and social media, it's your friend for marketing. It is not your friend for being in the zone at all. In fact, it will take you out of the zone. And the young kids today are more social media friendly, you know, than the older guys. I mean, they're on it, you know, every minute when they're not on the course. But the media, they can only talk about the past. Why'd you do this? And what are you going to do next? So they're taking you out of the moment. The key to any big event, you need to learn how to hide in a crowd. So I've instructed all my athletes, whether it's baseball, hockey, basketball, whatever, or golf or tennis, once you walk out of the media tent, then you need to reboot your brain, clear your mind, and don't let anything linger. Don't start hanging on to some question and going over shoulda, coulda, woulda, this is how I could have answered it. You need to really hide from the media, give some sound bites, and get out of there and learn how to be alone in a crowd.
I like that. We're talking with Jim Fannin, coach of champions. Jim, you know, when we talk about Rory, when I heard his whole approach into the event, I was a little apprehensive because, as you mentioned, it's not like any other event. There's nothing like the Masters in all of sport. We're going to talk about a few examples coming up in the show for sure. But I was nervous, so it's interesting that you said that.
Yeah, it's in my opinion, he was not prepared to handle that kind of pressure. And then when he got behind by that many shots, boy, the pressure's on. I can't make a mistake now. And can't make a mistake now, that's a negative phrase. That's a negative thought. And that's really what happened.
Yeah,
and you could see it on his face.
Yeah,
he was not happy with himself. He didn't like being out there in the spotlight. And it was almost as if, you know, I've told so many of my clients, are you going to coach? Are you going to play? Or are you going to be a commentator? So, you know, you can be out there performing. The commentator is doing a running dialogue about what's happening inside your head. You're also judging other participants. And then the coach is coaching yourself. The player just gets in the moment and really rides the moment and lets his intuition take over. The subconscious mind starts to rule your performance, and your conscious mind, which can be a judge, be a victim, and be a coach of yourself, it really goes into the back seat of your mind.
Yeah, it sure does, and that can affect you physically for sure, and we saw it with guys rushing their swings or changing their swings and missing their strokes, and it all falls apart. And maybe after the break, Jim, if you're okay hanging around, we could talk about that reset and getting back
sure.
in the game once things unravel.
Yeah, adversity really introduces you to yourself, and when that happens, sometimes yourself is not prepared and not ready for it. And if you blink, you're going to have a poor performance and a poor outcome.
We'll pick it up there after the break because I have an interesting point there, I think. Jim Fannin, we'll be back right after the break. And everybody stick around as we look at masterful performances and major collapses and try to dissect and learn as much as we can and apply them to all facets of our life with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions, right after this on Crush Performance.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. If you're a serious athlete, a weekend warrior, parent, or coach, join us each week as we investigate the latest trends and research coming out of the sport performance world. We'll visit with top athletes, coaches, and sports scientists to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it truly takes to achieve human maximum performance. You can visit us online at crushperformance.com, and Crush Performance Radio with me, Jeff Kershaw, can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, and at Radio Influence.
Find out what it takes to be a top performer. Get the Crush blog, podcast, and newsletter at crushperformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Do it. Crushperformance.com. Questions, comments, smart remarks, get to us right there. All our hookups, and you can look at our blog, our podcast, and, of course, all of our hookups to the world of performance. And today, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're joined by Crush favorite, the coach of champion, Jim Fannin. Jim, thanks for staying on the line.
Oh, it's my pleasure.
Well, today we are talking golf primarily, but we're looking at the mental game, we're looking at performance, and we're learning from successes and failures of the guys we see on TV, and we're trying to correlate and dissect that to see how what we learn from these great performers, how it can help us in our regular lives, whether it's business, for crying out loud, whether it's tests in academics. There's a lot to be learned from watching the pros, Jim.
Well, there's definitely a lot to be learned from the pros, and definitely the champions of the pros, even more so.
Exactly. Well, you know, I don't like to fret and focus on the negative, but I think we can learn as much from our failures as we do from our successes. And I just wanted to get, you know, back to the Masters here to start this conversation off here. With Ernie Els, here is a perennial champion. He's played this hole many times, but a six-putt on the first hole right out of the bat. That's a bad start to a day.
Well, that's a horrific start. That's a see you later, make my airline tickets for a Friday night start. And, yeah, it's not a great start. You know, when you have someone like Ernie Els, who's an international player, but he's also an international business person, and he has a lot of interest off the course as on, the more you practice being in the zone, the easier it is to be in the zone. So success of being in the zone begets success. I tell kids all the time, an hour of algebra and an hour of hockey or ice time, it's the same. And they, you know, they give me that look like, have you lost your mind? But being in the moment, you know, obviously hockey's more fun than algebra, but being in the moment and holding it in the moment, that's not easy. And as soon as Ernie, you know, really was over the green and then a couple of times back and forth over the green. And again, I said, you know, that first hole is like a waxed hood of a car.
Yeah.
You know, and as soon as it started to unravel, he was like, what am I, you know, what's going on? Which shows me he really was not in the moment. He went right back into the past on the shot he just missed again and again, and then it's over. It's over like that because he knows how hard it is. But if you don't practice it, and, you know, Ernie has not been at the top of the leaderboard in PGA events in the last year or so. And, you know, the more you're in it, the more easy it is to get in it.
So, yeah, true enough. We're talking with Jim Fannin.
You just can't turn it on and off like a water faucet. Oh, I'm at the Masters. I'm Ernie Els. I play great golf. I'll turn it on. It doesn't work like that.
Well, and that's good to see, Jim. I think for a lot of people who have watched Ernie Els and all these great golfers over the years, they seem invincible. They seem infallible, but they're not. They're really on their game. They're really working hard to be that good. It's just not that easy.
Well, it takes sacrifice to be at the top. It's not easy. It's very, you have to have, if you're married, you have to have the most amazing spouse possible because of the sacrifice of time. You're traveling. You throw in some business interests. It takes a lot of sacrifice. But the ones that are winning really have narrowed their focus like a hungry cheetah. They're locked in on what they want. They only think about what they want. And that vision of what they want wakes them up in the morning. It puts them to bed at night. Once you have a family, you have kids, you have outside interests, your energy's dissipated. It's dispersed all over the place. And, boy, that's, you know, when you really need to turn that spigot on with a laser focus, good luck. Maybe it's there, maybe it's not. But for four rounds, probably not. You're going to have to practice that. You know, Augusta National, that course says for 20 hours, you can only go into the future to choose a club.
Mm, right.
If you look one shot ahead or one hole ahead, you're going to be in trouble. And can you hold your focus for 23 hours? You know, that, if you haven't been doing that, good luck trying to do it under those adverse conditions. And they're adverse, even no matter how beautiful it is. But, you know, the wind was tough on the first 2 days. That was adverse. The greens got really dry and quick. And that's, you know, that makes it treacherous. And then guys start thinking, this is where I don't want to be on a putt. You know, if I miss it, I don't want to be here. And I believe that Ernie thought that. If I miss this putt, where am I going to be for my next putt? And you think, well, pros don't do that. They do that. I've been with them, and they do have those thoughts of where they don't want to be. And that's a recipe for disaster.
Always positive. We're talking with Jim Fannin, coach of champions. You can check out his website, jimfannin.com. As we talk sports, learning from the successes and failures of the pros we see on TV from all different sports. We're talking golf today, but there's so many different examples out there, Jim, that we could learn from, watch, and dissect. And you mentioned an interesting word, adversity. And, you know, it's never perfect. The world of sport, maybe that's why it's some of the best reality television out there. We really don't know what's going to happen. Your competition, your state, your teammates, your environment. There's so many variables involved. It's just incalculable. So One of the things we talk about, Jim, when we practice with our athletes or we send them and arrange their practice plans is, you know, the old adage of perfect practice makes perfect. I don't know if that's so true anymore, knowing what we know now, because in the real world of sport, it's never perfect. So, you know, facing and practicing adversity just makes a lot of sense to me.
You know, I've got a golf in the zone school. I've done many of them with Brian Mogg, who's in Toronto, who has an academy, golf academy there, Brian Mogg. And one of the games that we play is called adversity. And we take the students and we put them in very adverse situations. And we see if they can get out of it. That's the mark of a great pro. You know, the pros can, you watch them, you know, they're in the woods, they're in the rough, you know, they can hit some poor tee shots. But the one thing they're great at is, you know, when the money's on the table and they're in an adverse situation, they'll execute the basics. And the key is just execute the basics. Nothing more, nothing less. So we practice adversity. Go over adversity quite a bit. I'm coaching the University of Illinois golf team. You would think that a team this far north in America would not be number one in the country. We are, and they play in adverse conditions, in adverse circumstances with the wind and the cold of Illinois and the rain. And they're so tough when they come out of these cold conditions and hit the spring, they're able to compete with the Texas, Florida, California teams and beat them. And they just won a big tournament, beating teams, 14 teams. Eight of them were in the 14 teams were in the top 50 in the country. And they hadn't practiced because they couldn't get outdoors because it was raining. The conditions were adverse. But when they go out there and bundle up, they know they can handle that. So if it's nice, it's like, are you kidding me? This is easy.
It's easy. Well, and you mentioned something that's interesting to me as well, which is the college level of sport. You know, when we look at these programs, teams, schools that are perennial, winners and champions and always successful. It's interesting to note, you know, we always talk about stability and consistency with inside of an organization. At the college level, we look at the great programs. We have to look at the coaching because you have new students, you know, marching through year after year after year. So you don't have that consistency in terms of the athletes and the player side. So there's a lot to be learned about successful cultures at the college level. And, you know, we talk about the University of Connecticut earlier in the show. This women's team went 38-0 up here in Canada. The Nate Oakes men's hockey team, they just took the ACAC championship. They went 36-0. And I think that level of sport is really interesting when we look at the culture side of it.
Well, I agree 100%. Gino Auriemma is phenomenal. He's a genius coach in Connecticut. They empower their players, and here's how they do it. And if you're running a company, anybody listen, running a company, or you're on a team, there are three legs of empowerment. And if you think of a stool that has three legs on it, and of course, if one leg is wobbly, the stool, it's hard to get up on that stool and go to a higher place. And these programs really have the three legs of the stools that make up empowerment. First of all, they give their players exactly, this is your responsibility. They really make that clear and identified, and the players know their responsibility. Some have different roles and of responsibility. The superstar, Breonna Stewart, who, you know, this gal's, she's player of the decade. I mean, what she did was phenomenal. Associated Press Player of the Year four times in a row. Final Four Most Outstanding Performer. Freshman, sophomore, junior, senior. I mean, that's incredible. But she has a different role on the team as someone else. They all have responsibility. Secondly, they all have authority of what to do and what not to do. And these coaches say, you know, with seconds to go, you're taking the ball out, and you're doing this. And everybody's got their authority of what they can do and what they can't do. You can't shoot a three-pointer. That's not your authority. Steph Curry, obviously, tonight going up for the 73rd win. He and Clay Thompson have the authority to shoot the three.
Yes,
they do. Center, Bogut, he does not have the authority to shoot the three in those situations. And then the college coaches and great coaches in general, they also have the players have authority over their own body, authority over their off-court, what they do, and the authority of what to do and what not to do. And then last is the accountability. Coaches, great coaches, are tough. They hold their players accountable, and they teach their player self-accountability, which is the most difficult thing, and that comes under self-discipline. You know, they hold you accountable to be prepared and to adjust during a tournament and to evaluate objectively. So the three prongs of empowering someone on a team, responsibility, authority, accountability. You miss one of those three, you're not empowered, you're going to have inconsistent performances, and your team is definitely going to struggle.
We're talking with Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. Jim, that's some great advice, and as you mentioned, that's things that a CEO at a company or a manager
Absolutely.
At a company can apply as well. This is really good stuff.
Yeah, it's. I've seen that in. I've coached GE, for example, large companies, Fortune 100, and the same thing applies. Gino Auriemma, Steve Kerr of the Golden State Warriors, Mike Small, University of Illinois, the coach in Canada that you just mentioned. I'm sure they're all doing that. They're empowering their players to be the best that they can be and go to a height greater than themselves. And that's how you get up on that three-legged stool to go to a height you never thought you could go.
Yeah, well, when we step into the professional ranks of sport, pressure and the ante goes up quite a bit. If we look at the Montreal Canadiens, for example, they started the season, they were on fire. They fell apart, injuries, and they just couldn't make it happen, missed the playoffs, and, well, there they are, they're golfing already. Then you have the Pittsburgh Penguins, which is a great story this year because they were slow but patient. And maybe confident. I really like it. And they finished strong. You know, you have Chicago. There's a bunch of great stories in the hockey world as the NHL playoffs kick off. But there's an interesting approach or look at cultures from the professional side as well. It's a little different than college sport, but still a lot to be learned
from
there.
The players know their role.
Right.
They know how much ice time they're going to get. They know what line they're coming in. They know exactly what's expected. And, you know, the great coaches in hockey, they make it very clear. This is what your role is, and that player accepts it, has the authority to manage that role, and holds himself accountable. Sometimes the coach says, you know, back off yourself. You're being too hard on yourself. I mean, that's a consummate pro. This is especially true in team sports. You know, your team is only as good as what they think when they're alone. Each player's alone. Each player prepares differently coming to the arena. And what are they thinking? And they can be distracted by home life and, you know, girlfriends, wives, all kinds of things. And the great pro can segregate those thoughts. When I'm at the arena and I'm on the ice, there's no place I'd rather be. But when I'm with my family, there's no place I'd rather be. You know, that's a mantra that I've taken on my own life and all my clients. There's no place I'd rather be, Crush, than with you right now on this phone, or I'd hang up. And you know, that's a mindset. If you don't want to be there and it doesn't give you joy, then quit. Do something else. But if you're going to do it, do it.
Well, right back at you, Jim Fannin, and I'm right where I want to be right now. Unfortunately, however, we got to cut out for a quick break. If you're okay,
go make some money.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you're okay sitting through another commercial break, hey, I'd like to come back and talk to you about the guys at Golden State, because these guys, they want to be there. There's no question about it.
Do they ever? Let's do it. I love this team. I'll do it.
Excellent. Hey, coming back, we'll talk about the Golden State Warriors and their incredible feat this year as we dissect successes and failures in sport and how they can be used in your life right after this on Crush Performance.
Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Each week, we look at the latest trends and research coming out of the performance world to keep you on the cutting edge and to find out what it takes to achieve human maximum performance. And athletes, now you can do just that as Crush Performance presents the Sport Matrix, the program for top performance in sport. For more information, go to crushperformance.com and join us Wednesday evenings at 7, Saturdays at 4. We're here to help you think like an athlete.
Radio Influence strives to bring you the best in digital media broadcasting. We've got something for everybody. National sports radio talents such as the fabulous Sports Babe and Rich Herrera. Huge podcasts like the Don Tony and Kevin Castle Show. And the MMA Insiders with Jason Floyd and Sam Kaplan. New shows like Beyond the Badge with Vincent Hill. Entertainment shows like LOL with Nancy Alexander. And shows that'll make you think like Dangerous Conversation with Scott Ledger.
We've got you covered.
You can find all our shows on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and RadioInfluence.com.
You're listening to Crush Performance, your weekly source for sport performance and athletic development information. Get the Crush blogs, podcasts, and performance links at CrushPerformance.com. Now, back to the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Crush Performance. I am Jeff Crushell. Connor Hallie is behind the glass keeping us on track. We are your weekly source for sports performance and athletic development information. Please do get to us. The internet is a magnificent thing. CrushPerformance.com. Our Twitter, Facebook feeds are there. You can get into our newsletter. Also check out our blogs. Today we are talking successes, failures in sport. Our theme is the Masters. Looking back at the Masters, so many storylines there. And we've been joined all day today by Crush favorite, Mr. Jim Fannin, the coach of champions. Jim, thanks for hanging around all evening.
Oh, it's my pleasure. This show's always in the zone. That's what I like about it.
We try to get right in the zone and share the good word, and we have about 7 minutes left, and I wanted to get into this with you because we're talking about great cultures, the power of coaching and accountability, and I love the whole idea of the three legs of empowerment, responsibility, authority, and accountability. I think Golden State is firing on all cylinders. I wanted to get your impressions here before the show came to an end.
Well, you know, if you watch, first of all, Steve Kerr knows how to do it. Obviously, he was with the 95-96 Bulls, had season tickets. I saw every home game, and he was in the zone, you know, that whole year, as were the Bulls. But it starts with him. Accountability, he's accountable. The interesting thing about the Warriors, when Steve Kerr got injured, went on sick leave at the beginning of the year, Luke Walton took over, and he's a rookie. He's a novice in coaching, Bill Walton's son. He took them to 39-4. The NBA then said, hey, Luke Walton, great job. We're going to make you the October-November Coach of the Month, but you don't get to keep those wins. Those belong to Steve Kerr, not you.
Wow.
And a lot of people don't realize that.
No, I did not realize that.
Walton said, I understand. I understand because he set up the practice last year. I used his plays, and I don't have a challenge with that. Not one thing mentioned. No one knows about it. And that's the mark of a champion coach, to build that type of culture. You know, if you look at this locker room, and I've seen so many great locker rooms, no gossip, no assumption thinking, no rumors, no racism, which has happened in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
No prejudice, no malice. And even though Stephen Curry receives all the notoriety from the national and international media and acclaim, and so does Klay Thompson and a few other guys, Draymond Green, but Stephen Curry, he takes the lion's share, no jealousy. And we've all seen that with some superstars on a team. Yeah, he's great, but the team doesn't win. Steph Curry is a consummate team member. He really is. He keeps the team loose. They have fun in practice. I think he even lost a game of pig, or a game of horse, as they call it. I think they were playing game of pig with an Angels baseball player. Curry actually lost, laughing about it. This was before a game. But when the game starts, he is locked in. But the one thing you'll notice about Curry, and the rest of the team follows his lead, he's not only focused, He's cool, calm, and poised. He's always fiddling with his mouthpiece. His jaw's always unhinged. He has a purposeful calm about him, and that'll weather storms, a purposeful, calm mindset. That will look adversity in the eye and not blink. And Stephon Curry doesn't blink when the money's on the table. He'll take the toughest shot at the toughest time. And the rest of the team just feeds off that. But it starts with Kerr, definitely.
If I had a leadership checkbox, I think we've checked just about every box associated with great leadership in terms of coaching and, of course, leadership as a player as well. You're absolutely right.
Well, it's a team where if you were in that locker room, I'm sure you would not hear the pass talked at all. Next, that's the battle cry of a champion. They bury that. They learn from it quickly and then bury it in the backyard like a dead carcass. They don't dig it up. Next.
Right.
They don't dwell on it. They don't hang their head. Next. They just keep moving forward. So it's a locker room that I know is fun to be in. And you just don't, no envy, no jealousy, no gossip, no hearsay. So I think that kind of culture lets you go out and execute the basics, especially when the money's on the table.
Yeah. Jim Fannin, a couple minutes left. I have to ask you about Kobe's last game. Love him or hate him, this guy dealt with the distractions we've seen that have crushed other players. He's dealt with the fame and fortune that has derailed other greats, and he's weathered those storms. This is a pretty special guy. Whether you like him or you don't like him, you got to respect him one way or the other.
Well, he knows how to get in the zone. That he does. He's always up for the challenge. He'll guard the toughest guy, and he doesn't mind the toughest guy guarding him. And the toughest defender always guards him. My hope is that he has enough energy to play one fourth quarter in the zone, and that he can, you know, have five or six buckets in a row, get the crowd crazy, and then take him out to a standing ovation, which he deserves. So the Chinese are flooding that game. A lot of people don't realize that they're paying $10,000. He's a big deal. Every summer he goes to China and does events, and people are flying in all over the world to be at this last game.
And rightfully so. What an icon.
Rightfully so.
Yep, rightfully so. Jim Fannin, listen, we are out of time. I appreciate your time this evening. A fantastic conversation as we went through the Masters, the good and the bad. We've learned a lot from the successes and the collapses there. Talking about the college sports, the professional sports. The sporting world is really a great platform for learning, isn't it?
It really is. It really is. It's a great thing for our youth today, even to witness the negatives that happen that we see sometimes on the pro level. It can we can use it as a tool to say, well, this is not what you do when you're in public. So I think it's great lessons, and hopefully parents will use sports to turn kids into great decision makers. That's the goal of a parent. If they're world-class decision makers when they leave the home, you've done an amazing job as a parent. Listen, you're always in the zone, and I wish that the audience, listeners, get in the zone and definitely get in the zone with your kids.
Great, Jim. Thank you very much. Appreciate your time tonight.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. There's Jim Fannin, the coach of champions, jimfannin.com. Hey, next week, stay tuned. A very, very important episode as we talk about concussions, what we know, what you need to be thinking about, and are your young players and our professional players safe? All that and more next week on Crush. Thanks for tuning in.